early anyway. It has happened, folks. The long-awaited superstar trade that we have been waiting years for. The Toronto Raptors finally traded their superstar player. The next Kawhi Leonard. The next Giannis Antetokounmpo. They have traded OG Anunoby. I cannot believe this, Sam, that the Raptors have traded one of their core pieces in a move that is clearly indicating a competitive rebuild. But OG Anunoby and Precious Achiuwa traded for Emmanuel Quickly, RJ Barrett, and a Pistons second round pick. So what was your gut reaction when the slop dropped?
So I didn't even, I was just analyzing this. You know what's funny is everyone was like, there was a big reaction. I didn't like, because you texted me about it, and I just read like Woj's tweet. And then I went on the thing, and in my mind, I was like, oh, okay, that makes sense as a trade. I didn't even consider that like first round picks would be involved. Like, I forgot that it was Masai, and that was like the shoe that everyone else was like waiting to drop after like the initial parameters came out. And I was like, okay, well, you know, I think that that's like a pretty good trade. And then it comes out that it's just second round pick from the Knicks coming out, and then Precious is the only other one. So that's honestly, I kind of think it's a fair trade. Of course you were in here. Sorry, my cat is in here.
No, it's all good.
Yeah.
Can everyone in the comments let me know if my mic is echoing? I did see a comment that my mic is echoing. If it is echoing. Okay, I sound fine. Okay, cool.
Okay, good.
So my gut reaction to the trade was, wow, they finally traded OG Anunoby. Mm-hmm. Two, the Knicks got off the RJ Barrett contract. And then I saw Quickly was involved. And I'm pretty high on Quickly as a player. I think that he gets a bad rap because he had two bad playoffs early in his career. One as a rookie, one as last year. And he is seen as the prototypical combo guard who, you know, is going to be a defensive liability. But the analytics and when you watch him play defense say the total opposite to me. I think that he's actually a good defender. The rare small guard who actually can guard up a bit. He's a very good team defender. Scrappy point of attack guy. And this is a bet from the Raptors that Scottie Barnes is going to be that guy. And if he is, which he has in year three has shown that he has taken a leap as a scorer, as an on-ball guy, as a shooter, and if he is that dude, the kind of players that you want to surround him with are guys like Emmanuel Quickly, who are great secondary playmakers, who can run pick and roll, who can defend on the other end, shoot off the catch, shoot pull-ups. Like, I love the fit of Quickly with the Raptors to the point where I would rather take a flyer on Quickly, pay him, and try this upside thing, and even take the risk on RJ Barrett. Because I know, look, we've talked about RJ ad nauseum. I think he's one of the worst players, starters in the NBA. He was a terrible fit on that Knicks team, and a lot of his own deficiencies are self-inflicted. Having said all of that, I tweeted the other day. Did you see my tweet about this the other day where no. I said the Knicks should trade RJ Barrett before the jig is up and people realize he's not a starting level wing? They should do it so that they can pay Emmanuel Quickly this offseason, who is good. And they went the opposite direction. They traded RJ, but it was not a salary dump. It was, we're getting back a very good player. OG Anunoby, look, is he overrated by the podcast class and the Zach Lowe's of the world? Absolutely, 100%. Yes. Yep. I think OG's fit on a team, if he's the third or fourth best player on a team that has legitimate star talent, is very good. And I think that the Knicks have improved their star talent, but I don't think this move moves the needle enough for me. When you consider that OG Anunoby, he will hit the corner threes that RJ Barrett missed. He will be a much better defender than RJ Barrett. But he also is going to have a potential Tobias Harris-like extension this offseason where you could be paying him upwards of $40 million a year. Like, I really think that there could be a team like the Pistons or the Sixers that just do a crazy 2-year deal like the Fred VanVleet deal, and you might end up getting paid OG Anunoby $40 million a year. And I would have rather taken the risk on quickly and then figured something out later to do, either dumping the RJ contract or just riding that out. And the Raptors are the one team where I kind of think RJ can, like, they have taken bad shooters and made them into passable shooters. OG was not a good shooter coming out of college. Siakam was a horrible shooter. Scottie Barnes was a terrible shooter. Like, they have made below average to bad shooters into passable shooters. And that's the only thing RJ needs to at least be a playable wing, I think, in the NBA. So overall, I like the trade a lot for the Raptors. I don't really get it for the Knicks, unless there's another move coming where they get another ball handler sometime in the next few months before the playoff run.
So can I go at it from the Knicks side of things?
Yes. I think also, Dredd has joined us, for anyone who's listening. Hello, Dredd. Yes.
I meant to just request, but apparently it doesn't let me do that anymore now that I'm a mod.
Yeah. No, so. You're good.
No, you come up. You're here.
You're here for all of the emergency slop streams.
Yeah. You get to just come in. So my thing with the Knicks is, I'm a little more skeptical. I kind of believe there's a reason that Quickly does bad in the playoffs. Like, and I think that, you know, while he's a great player, I think if you're where the Knicks are, you want to be getting, you want to be preparing for this next star you're going to get. So you need guys who can play on the floor together with Brunson. Quickly and Brunson can play together, but I think there is a little bit of diminishing returns with, like, their skill sets and everything like that. RJ Barrett's not good, as we went over, and you get off of his contract, which is, like, very important, and you turn that into OG Anunoby. Now, I think it's going to, you know, it's obviously going to matter, A, will OG resign there, and B, will he, you know, what will the price be? I have a sneaking suspicion this has all been worked out already.
Probably. Probably some sort of wink, wink.
Yeah, there's some sort of idea going on. I think that OG probably wanted to be in a bigger market in a city like New York. I think that one of the concerns with trading for OG Anunoby is he going to want a bigger role on, like, a different team. And I do think he is going to end up having kind of a bigger role on New York, but I think he'll also be more willing in New York on a big market. A lot of eyes on him, you know, just getting to live a New York lifestyle, that I think he'll be more willing to, you know, be kind of a secondary guy to, you
also
know,
just a better team right now.
Yeah, exactly.
Today they're going to make the playoffs and the Raptors would not.
Yeah. It's essentially exactly like what's going to happen. So I think they needed a player like this badly, very badly. I think all playoff teams need a player like OG Anunoby, which is why he's so overrated by the podcast thing. There's a kernel of truth in there that you do need these three or four wings who can shoot. You know, he's not a great shooter, but he's definitely will keep you honest, which is very important in the playoffs. He's an overrated defender, but he's still a very good defender. Like, I think all of these things are very important for the Knicks, and it's going to, even if they end up paying him $25 million a year or whatever it is, it's going to be gonna have to be a scorer in New York. Sengun.
He exists to frustrate me.
Baldonsop tweeted and said OG Anunoby's gonna have to be a scorer in New York now. RJ used to have 25 point games on the regular. To be fair, in defense of Baldonsop, Baldonsop is fully 2000s pilled, and RJ Barrett is straight out of the 2000s all the way down to the efficiency. Like, he's like a 50% true shooting guy who, you know, grinds it out, gets buckets, doesn't care. Not much of a hooper, though. I don't really think that he is someone who has an aesthetically pleasing game, even if he fits some of the things that Ball Don't Stop hits on. But kind of back to your point, Sam. Mm-hmm. I do agree that OG is a good third or fourth guy to have in the playoffs. He's a knockdown corner shooter at the very least, and that's kind of what they were missing from RJ. Like, RJ is a guy who's just going to be horrible from – he's one of the worst jump shooters in the NBA.
Yeah.
And they wanted to put more shooting around Brunson and Randle, clearly, and they wanted to have a guy who's more defensively versatile. And look, they're built. Their roster is certainly. I don't think they have the top end talent to like get to the conference finals or win a conference. But I think that if you're trying to build a team for the playoffs, they have a lot of guys that can stay on the floor in the playoffs at a very very minimum. Now, I don't know if Julius Randle can.
Yeah, right.
that seems to be the bigger issue here. But OG Anunoby, Josh Hart, guys that are Quentin Grimes, guys that are going to at least defensively be able to give them kind of a floor, and offensively will hopefully complement the rest of the talent that they have on the roster.
Yeah, I just want to remind everybody that the Raptors are going to be paying RJ Barrett 1.2 times Anfernee Simons' annual income
And at one point, there was an offer. Someone said, "What's the craziest rumored offer that that the Raptors turned down for OG?" And the answer was Anfernee Simons and the pick that became Shaedon Sharpe.
Right.
And in that trade, what did you get? You get a combo scoring guard in Anfernee Simons, and you get a Canadian player in Shaedon Sharpe. So they just went the other way.
They just did it differently. They got
a different version that trade.
My honest take for the Knicks, and like I think that like so I have quite a few Knicks friends, including my grandfather, and he's not going to understand this because they still think RJ's good.
Ah, yes, that's a common thing. Until the last month, I do think that Knicks fans thought that RJ was. He just had to figure some things out. He was still on the star track. he just had to figure out, I don't know, every element of his game. But I think the thing that I take from this is that, and I was saying this literally for weeks, was I think that Knicks fans are going to end up hating RJ Barrett in the long run. In my mind, they were going to have to trade Emmanuel quickly because they didn't want to pay him. But now he's the incentive to get off the RJ Barrett contract.
Yeah,
but
case, IQ is going to die for RJ's sins.
Exactly. Yeah. Right. And I do think that, I don't know, I think that if there is a team, like, the shooting thing doesn't always work out with the Raptors. They've tried this 100 times, and it's maybe only worked out a handful of times. But the one positive you can look at from the Raptor side if you want to rebuild RJ's shot is that he was a horrible free throw shooter before this season.
Yeah.
And it's above 80% now.
Okay, like,
there's a baseline level of touch there that you might be able to work with to get him to be a 35% three-point shooter on decent volume.
Yeah, I agree. I do want to point out, by the way, so Kevry's up a very good point in the comments, that the RJ does not currently offer spacing, even with the theoretical upside that his touch could provide. He is a net negative for, certainly for a Scotty Siakam pairing. So Siakam's got to be gone too, like, first off, like, unless they want to stifle Scotty has owned the haters, unfortunately.
He's been terrible this year.
He was fucking giving Drew Holiday fucking work last night in the game. It was really impressive. Drew's one of the strongest guard defenders in the NBA, and Scotty
was Drew guarded him in the fucking weight room this season.
And Scotty fucking put him in the weight room. It was honestly like very impressive. So,
thing is that for the benefit of getting better team defense, Gary Trent Jr. and Emmanuel Quickly, I'm a little bit higher in IQ than that. But like that
well,
is
Emmanuel Quickly is just, I mean,
he's a better scorer.
If you can correct me if I'm wrong here, but as of 2 weeks ago, Emmanuel Quickly was the best pick and roll, most efficient pick and roll scorer in the NBA this season.
Yeah.
When he ran a pick and roll, it was only like 3 or 4 a game, but when he ran a pick and roll this year, it was like 1.2 points per possession, which obviously is not sustainable, but that's like an elite amount of, if you're trying to bet on a guy who's still 24 years old, that has, if you look at the per 36 numbers between Jalen Brunson and Emmanuel Quickly, the irony of this, as some Knicks fans have pointed out, is that this could be a bet similar to what the Knicks made on Brunson. Just get him out of his situation, turn him into a more on-ball guy, turn him into a guy who can work off a potential star wing like Scotty Barnes, and maybe this turns into a borderline, if not low-end, all-star player. And one who you hope, because the defense is good,
right,
can hold up a little bit better if you ever get deep into the playoffs again. So I have defended OG against people who say he's the most overrated player in the NBA. I'm like, his team context is absolute dog shit. But I think this is a sign in the right direction for the Raptors, in that they are willing to actually make a move to finally realize they need to build around Scottie Barnes, and they need to stop putting talent around Scottie that does not fit with him. And RJ might not be a great fit, but I think Quickley's a great fit.
I was about to say, I think that this move, like, I think you can be, from a Raptors perspective, and like, I think the Knicks perspective is actually a little bit more complex in terms of how they see their team building philosophy. From the Raptors perspective, this is an endorsement of Scottie Barnes as their star. Gabriel brings up a good point earlier, and he just brought up again. But the pairing of Scottie and Quickley, you're going to pay Quickley. Like, that is the commitment you're bringing into this, is you're paying Quickley. And frankly speaking, I think that's actually a good move, even if Quickley is maybe like a little bit small sample sized. He's the kind of player who you are saying, we think Scottie is a franchise player. Let's surround him with talent that works for him. I think taking on RJ is the worst part for the Raptors, honestly.
Sure.
But like you said, if there's some upside there, I mean, honestly, Canadian players going back to Canada to be good has happened before.
They're doing what Sixers fans have always wanted to do. Just sign, honestly, and the Sixers fans would have been right if they did it with Lonnie Walker, Reading, Pennsylvania legend.
Yeah, it's land back for locals. Yeah.
Yeah. I've heard DeAndre Hunter was one for a Philly guy, Cam Reddish, plenty of guys that have at least somewhat turned their career around that Sixers fans have wanted. This is just the Canadian version of it.
I was going to say, so this confirms that the Wiggins for Siakam is a done deal at this point.
Do you think so? Another Canadian
prodigal son returning to Canada.
I actually think that this makes the Wiggins to Toronto infinitely less likely.
Yes.
Unfortunately.
I like it from Toronto. Sam likes it a little bit more for the Knicks. I like it a little bit more.
I didn't say that.
Okay.
I think it's actually a good trade for both teams. The problem with it from the Toronto perspective is you're a fucking moron for not doing this trade 2 years ago when OG had more trade value. That's the fucking problem. For the context right now, this is actually pretty good defined value for expiring OG and an Obi who's not coming back anyway.
I made the same point in the Discord. It is a good trade for current moment OG.
Yes. It's totally fine return. You get you weren't gonna get anything back. My point with players as good as IQ still on their rookie contract, it's pretty rare you regret paying those guys. So it's like a pretty good bet. Like, you know what I'm saying? Those guys usually still keep improving. Kentucky guards usually keep improving. Like, this is something that is like probably going to be fine. And then Trill, you went into it a little bit. Like, you know, there is enough there that you can take on RJ. Like, you're not going to be good if you're the Raptors for like a little bit of time. Like, you can eat 2 years of RJ Barrett being bad, and there's like a 10% chance that, yeah, like you said, he becomes a good shooter and figures it out, and then you've got your 2-3 swingman to go with your 3-4 swingman and Scottie Barnes, and they're never gonna be, you know, I don't think, well, Scottie was fucking shooting lights out last night. Scottie has been an incredible
shooter this year.
Yeah,
he's like on extreme volume too. Like,
yeah,
he's kind of figured out that element of his game more so than I ever had anticipated from. The reason why I was low on Scottie was I was like, look, I've seen the Ben Simmons thing before. This is Ben Simmons again, but what if Ben Simmons didn't have a mental breakdown and learned how to shoot? That's a pretty good player. Like, I would say that's one of the better players in the NBA, certainly.
We have said multiple times, both you and I, that non-broken brain Ben Simmons is a all-star basically every year.
Exactly. Yeah. And now Scottie's potentially reaching that level of player, and you need to start building around him based on this idea of what he can become. And I just like the fact that they were able to take a guy who fits great with Scottie, I think they'll be able to get him on a reasonable contract. He'll probably make like 22 to 25 million, which sounds insane. But then when you figure out the fraction of the cap that it is moving forward, once the cap goes up, it's really not that much. Guys that make that much are like 15% of the cap moving forward. So it's really not some crazy overpay like that would have been years ago. And then look, maybe you can rehab RJ. I'm not high on the idea of rehabbing RJ, but there is a world where he becomes at least playable for 25, 30 minutes a game, and you're not killing yourself over paying this guy this much money.
I think I was going to say, I think the likeliest outcome, if we're going to look at like neutral value RJ or neutral, but like slightly negative, is that this goes from being what was on track to being an albatross contract under this new CBA of these like sub max young guys to being like potentially something that is not something you want on a championship roster, but something you're fine on a 7th, 8th seed down to like 10th, 11th seeds for most years.
Yeah. Oh, like, and someone points out in the comments, none of these players are going to be available to play for the Pistons game tonight. Oh, second half of a back-to-back. The streak is going to end tonight.
Oh,
your Raptors play the Pistons tonight.
Are we sure about that?
Are we sure about that? Have you
second half of a back-to-back? No OG.
What weren't the Jazz on a second half of a back-to-back when they had everyone fucking sitting?
Yeah, they were, but it kind of doesn't matter. So what's the Raptors? Scotty might just decide.
Raptors almost went to overtime last night. They were busting their ass. They played a lot of minutes.
Scotty might just decide, you know, put on the glove. Let me do it myself.
I was going to say, Scotty versus Cade, old high school teammates going at each other.
I'm going to watch that shit.
Look, you have to understand, the NBA has accidentally created the highest rating for the biggest draw ever, which is the Pistons are so bad you can't look away.
Exactly.
And the greatest thing ever is, I think the funniest outcome is actually they win tonight and then immediately rattle off another 29 losing games. So in the Wikipedia article of longest losing streak, it goes 23-24 Pistons, 23-24 Pistons.
That would be incredible. I do think that streak is likely to end sometime in the next week based on the last few games that I've seen for the Pistons. Like, the Pistons are just playing way better than they played earlier in the year. But Bojan coming back has been big for them, even if they're still losing. Like, they almost beat the Celtics in Boston the other night. Like, I don't
know. Oh, yeah, but you have to understand something. Celtics going bozo mode against an inferior opponent? Wow. We've never seen this before. Yeah.
I know.
I literally told you that, and you laughed at me, and they still almost did it.
Yeah, and they still won the game, though. That was my point, was that the Celtics went down 20 points and won the game. That's why I laughed at the concept, because the Celtics are so much better that they didn't even have to try in the first half.
Yeah,
and they still won the game.
The Celtics, this is the magical theory of the Celtics. So for any of you that are football fans and know the Pittsburgh Steelers, longtime Pittsburgh Steelers fans will sometimes talk about the play down to competition paradox.
Sure. The Ravens do this too.
Exactly.
It's an AFC North thing.
Yeah, the AFC North, well, except for the Bengals, who have been bad for like ever, but now fine. But the AFC North will always play down to competition. The Celtics have a little bit of that in them. If the Celtics were playing the San Lucahara high school basketball team, the first half would look real messy.
Yeah.
That's all I'm going to say. They wouldn't lose, but it would look messy.
Actually, Will, I don't think that's the case this year. I think the Sixers are the best at taking care of rat teams this
year. Yeah, I was going to say.
Pistons Wizards, man.
Sixers are shooting rats like Luke Skywalker shot Wampaz in his...
He's 16.
Yeah. In recent years, it's the Celtics have run up the score a lot on some bad teams. But
I think that... I guess my takeaway on this trade is... I'm really interested to see what Toronto does.
Yes, that's what I was going to ask next.
Yeah, because you know, you have Siakam is the next obvious shoe to drop, but like Masai,
so they have Gary Trent Jr. too. Because
if
you trade for Quickly, you're probably moving on from Gary Trent.
So that was my question. You already are giving Scotty a lot of run. Do you just fucking start IQ in the backcourt next to Gary Trent? I think that I kind of like that. I'm going to be honest.
Maybe
like,
maybe they're just thinking everything revolves around him. Yeah, also, the idea of this trade is that
Nick
Nurse said for fucking 3 years, please get me another guard who can run offense. And Masai refused to really do that. And now they finally have a guy who at least can run some offense, you know, against higher level defenses. We'll see how it works out, but he's definitely going to be starting for them. And then the question is, do you keep Gary Trent Jr.? I think he's going to get paid. I think this move indicates that they're dedicating their salary to RJ quickly. And then Scotty's extension will be next off season. But I think this move indicates that they are looking to sell a little bit and just retweak with younger talent. You have Gary Trent Jr., who is about to be a free agent. You have Dennis Schroeder, who, I mean, if you have Quickly, you might as well just move on from Schroeder. Like, I don't really see, like, I would be more likely to keep Gary Trent than I would to keep Schroeder after this.
Look, I'm going to say this right now. Like, I think that signing Schroeder was not a disaster, but if the goal was to develop Scotty, which has always should have been the goal for this time, mm-hmm. Schroeder is exactly the wrong type of guard.
Sure.
To have there.
I agree.
I think right now, and once again, Gabriel has raised another very good point that even though it makes perfect sense to trade Pascal, it would also be the most Masai move ever to then now give him the max. OG and then max Pascal. And that, honestly,
very true.
I was thinking about this. I actually don't hate it if you think he's not washed. Because if you think he's not washed, he's probably.
I wouldn't take the bet.
Yeah, I wouldn't either. But because, like,
he's about to be 30. And then, well, if you consider the fact that he's about to be 30 and he's heavily reliant on athleticism
and his
max isn't like a second contract max. We're now talking like $50+ million a year for a guy who is probably currently like the 30th best bet player in basketball.
Okay. So in that case, I guess the Tobias Harris for Pascal Siakam contract will feed families.
I don't think Masai would do it for the Sixers anymore.
I don't think he would either.
Three months ago, you probably could have talked me into that. And I think I would have thought that the team might be open to it. But the way that they've been able to succeed this year with the amount of shooting they're putting on the court, with the way that they've been able to kind of find these guys who have value on the margins at the wing positions, I would be surprised if they did it now. In the offseason, maybe. Maybe if he's a free agent. The teams that I think are most likely for Siakam, I think there are four teams. I think one is it's the Warriors.
Yep.
The Hawks.
Yep.
Because the DeJounte thing, Sam talked about this before. That could still be on the table. They've been interested in him. The Pacers.
Yep.
Who have been linked to him forever. And they, hey, by the way, another Canadian, Benedict Mathurin. If you want to get some more shooting, you could acquire Buddy Hield from them. If you want to get some more shooting around Scotty, which they drafted Grady Dick, so maybe they wouldn't want Buddy Hield, but that's an idea. And then the Warriors, just because the Warriors seem kind of desperate to have a second scorer who can provide rim pressure. But their young guys have been playing better recently, I wouldn't be jumping at the chance to trade those young guys to pay Pascal Siakam.
I think there are two teams that maybe are long shots, but are at least interesting to me. So the first is the Kings, actually.
The Kings might be interested too, yeah. But they're going to want Keegan Murray, and then the Kings are going to say no, and then that will be the end of it.
I think that might be possible. I also think that, like, so I like Keegan Murray a lot, but I think we're seeing Keegan Murray's ceiling pretty close to it. Like, I think Keegan Murray's a great player, but I think if the Kings' goal is to just keep being a fun team, I think they should just keep Keegan Murray. He's a fun player.
Yeah.
But if they've gotten a little bit too much of a taste of success and want to roll on that, I think that they could be the kind of team that maybe does push in a couple of chips.
Yeah. Woj just said that they're still shopping Siakam.
Yeah.
So that's probably, we heard a report about 2 days ago from a Toronto reporter. It's so funny because I laughed. I had a tweet where I laughed at the idea of Toronto making a trade on a deadline because 2 days ago, they basically said, if you trade Pascal Siakam today, he can renegotiate and extend with his team 6 months from now, right before free agency starts. Now, with the new CBA, you can negotiate with your own players anyway before anyone else can. So it's not the same advantage it was last year or the year before. But they could agree to an extension before free agency even begins if they traded for Siakam today, another team. And I laughed at the idea that the Raptors would make a trade in the next 2 days. And they made the other trade that I thought that they would never actually make, and trading OG Anunoby. I would imagine they're a little bit more patient with the Pascal thing now, because they're not going to be in a rush to make another trade after this. They'll probably wait to see how the market is. Hope they get a good offer. And maybe they can live with letting Pascal walk for nothing because they got value for OG. But I would be pretty shocked if we're not sitting here on trade deadline day and he isn't on one of those teams that I mentioned. The Kings are another interesting team. The last team that I didn't mention, that I don't know if they have a shot at all because it's hard to make the contracts work. And it's also hard for this team to provide real draft capital. But I would love to see him on the Dallas Mavericks.
That was the other team I was actually about to bring up. I think that the Mavericks... I think it would have to be a lot of creativity going on. Yeah. But I think that he's actually the kind of player that would actually make the Mavericks a realistic Western Conference team.
Yeah. Yeah. And like with Kyrie, the way that they wouldn't give up Lively in the trade, that probably is, once again, I guarantee you Masai's just going to all these teams. Can we have this player? Can we have that player? They're being told no. Pascal's expiring. We're going to have to pay him. We're not giving up X good young player for him. And quickly, yeah, again, was probably the best guy he could get for OG.
This should have happened last year. Like, so yeah. Again, I want to say...
He got out a year ahead of it. Instead of trading for Jakob Poeltl, and they went the other direction last year, they could have got value for Fred VanVleet. They could have got value for OG Anunoby, and they could have got value for Pascal Siakam. And now they're getting less value for all three of them, and they don't have their pick because they traded it for Jakob Poeltl.
Yeah, and that's... We should not let Masai off the hook for that. Yeah. And as Sam was saying, in a vacuum, in the current context, good trade. He got good value. In the context of the last 3 years of off seasons, or 2 years of two off seasons and two seasons, this was a disaster.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I think it was. It's probably Will who brought it up, but they should be trying to tank this year. Convey their pick this year. They do not want to tank this year, because if they don't convey it this year, they convey it next year in a better draft. Like, and again, who was the trade even before the Jakob Poeltl? Who do they trade a first for?
Thad Young.
Yeah. Okay. Another
Eldridge. That's disaster. Yeah, disaster move. Like,
by the way, that trade, I need to look at the 20, because that was the 2022 first they traded, which was a much worse first than the trade in terms of where the pick lands. Is the 2024 first is going to be way higher, because it's only top six protected that they traded. It's probably going to be a lottery pick that they traded for Jakob Poeltl. But the pick, I'm looking at it now, where was Malachi? Okay, so here's a fun fact. Malachi Branham was the pick that was made with the
Raptors pick.
Okay, which was the 20th pick in the draft.
Yeah.
Two picks later was Walker Kessler. And you would have never had to trade for Jakob Poeltl if you had just kept that pick and selected Walker Kessler. If you wanted a big who does those things, just fucking take a swing on a guy like him. Now, look, I'm not going to sit here and act like I was crazy high on Walker Kessler in the draft. If you go back and watch our streams, I said I could see him potentially becoming the best case scenario for him was like a Brook Lopez type. Prior to a shooter. And that's kind of like the idea behind him as a prospect. And that's basically a much better version of Jakob Poeltl.
I was going to say, is Jakob Poeltl even like an above average starting NBA center? I don't think so.
No.
Yeah.
I mean, he got benched during the Celtics game at the end of the game last night. And the Raptors came back during that game after he got benched. He's not built to play in the playoffs at all. Like, this is my thing about Jakob Poeltl. When they made the trade, if you go back and listen, Sam, I mean, do you remember when we were talking about Jakob Poeltl during all of this? And yeah. I was like, well, what does he do for a team in the playoffs? He can't shoot. He can't do this. And you were like, how bad of a shooter is he? You didn't realize that he was like a nothing. Like, he's a bad free throw shooter. He can't shoot.
Yeah.
He's not a vertical spacing big, really. He's not like, he's a rim protector, rebounder, screen setter. Like, yeah. he can below average starting center.
He can pass a little too, but like the shooting thing is just a total nonsense.
Are you running offense through Jakob Poeltl to the point where his passing actually matters, though? Like
that's what I would say. He's like a connective passer, and if you can't shoot in space, your passing doesn't matter. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? As much as I love Rob Williams, that was one of the things that kind of cut into Rob Williams's thing, is that like he was never a huge threat. Like, I think he's got some touch, but like, you know, if you're not playing outside as a big, your passing just doesn't do as much unless you're like
the only team that Jakob Poeltl can work on is a team like the Warriors in the playoffs.
Like, I don't even I don't even think so, because I guess maybe sure, like, but the current version of Poeltl to me, like, he doesn't provide the same. I mean, Looney's kind of washed right now, but good Looney was so dominant on the boards, and Poeltl's good on the boards, but he isn't like. He's not going to push around Giannis, or like.
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of splitting hairs here, trying to figure out a team that he would work on. But he fits like the Bogut type of center that they usually would play during their heyday, and like they have enough shooting and spacing around their guys usually that they can make it work. But Kyle Kuzma tweet in the chat: Raptors went crazy. I like that. I am a little concerned that I agree with Kyle Kuzma.
I hate Kyle Kuzma is our most prolific young NBA tweeter. It's, you know, once upon a time we had a real superstar class of terminally online NBR players.
I know people are afraid.
We need a new Durant.
It's like Pat Bev and Kuzma are the only ones left that are willing to go out there. I don't know if you, by the way, this is just a little aside, but the Sixers and the Rockets played last night. Joel didn't play, but they played in Houston, and the entire, by the way, Fred Van Fleet, speaking of former Raptors, was destroying the Sixers. He made like 8 threes last night. He was on fire
until
the end, and he misses the three. But he made a really tough one and finally talked shit back to Pat Bev. And the next possession, Marcus Morris got an and-one three. And Pat Bev doesn't even go up to dap up Marcus Morris before he runs up to Fred VanVleet and calls him a fucking bitch.
Just screaming in his face, a fucking bitch. And you know what was funnier? What was even funnier was after the game, like, everyone's doing the thing, and Pat Bev just goes up to, hey, good game, man, like, hugs it out. like, it never happened.
He's screaming
in his face that he's a bitch, like, and then it's, like, not even, like, 3 minutes later.
He's like, game's over, we're cool, no worries. Have a good New Year, dude.
Pat Bev's such a
We got New Year slop, but holiday slop, I never thought. We've talked about how trades never happen in December. This is, like, so rare that this happens. And people said it was going to be a slow deadline, and I said those won't exist anymore. The league is too built around this now. Like, they are built around these kind of moves, and we're going to get bigger moves than this one too.
Yeah. So a couple of things. So I tried to build out a couple of quick trades. Like, so you can actually make the contracts work pretty easily for Siakam with the Mavericks. It's just about the picks, because the weird thing is
one pick.
They have one pick that they can trade, but they also have three swaps that they could trade up to, hypothetically. So it's like you get your pick of 26, 27, or 28 if you're the Mavs. Like, if you're a team trading with the Mavs, they can trade any of those. But they can't trade two of those. And then you would have to do the swaps. And the contracts are...
The Rashawn Holmes.
Yep. Okay. Grant Williams and Tim Hardaway Jr.
Yeah.
And you could, and you get a, you could probably get a player back. Like, I put Jalen McDaniels in the trade, like, coming back, and that works. Like, that's like within 60K money of each other. So,
okay. So I see Will in the comments say, when the Raptors want Josh Green, he's poison pilled. So but what's the difference? $7 million in salary. He makes like $5 million, and then it's like,
I mean, I can try it right now. I mean, I think
I was going to say, I don't think that it's, and honestly, Josh Green's fallen out of favor with the
Mavericks.
He hasn't really played much recently, and like, he's been kind of in and out of the lineup, and like, I'll be honest. If I were the Raptors, I would rather have him than Grant Williams.
Okay. That it works. Okay. You can take Grant Williams out, put Josh Green in, and it still works with Pascal Siakam and Jalen McDaniels.
That's the trade.
Yeah. So, you know, Tim Hardaway Jr., Rashawn Holmes, and Josh Green, like, and then, you know, a pick and a swap or a pick and two swaps or whatever, garnish that however you want, and you pick whichever the Mavericks pick. I think that's a fine trade, to be totally honest, like, for both teams. I mean, you have to haggle over whatever the picks would be, but that's a fine one.
I like the idea of having a bunch of shooting and a bunch of, like, guys who can capably, like, Josh Green's been up and down, but like he's a good corner shooter. He's a good passer. He can attack a closeout and like has proven that he can scale up a little bit too. He's actually not bad when the stars are out. So I would consider that deal if I'm the Raptors. I'm not sure how high they are on Josh Green, but that would be a move that I would definitely be interested in. It really comes down to the Tim Hardaway contract, because Tim Hardaway's contract is still next year. Has an extra year on it. And Tim Hardaway's been good this year, actually. He's shooting the shit out of the ball. But I do wonder if the problem is that the Raptors are probably not looking to take on a lot of money past this year, now that they've kind of made their moves to get RJ and IQ, who are on the are going to be on the books for the next 5 years, 4 or 5 years. This is the first year of the RJ extension. So that's a four-year deal? Four-year deal or five-year deal? No, it's four, because the old CBA, you couldn't. So it's 4 years. So that's your books are basically going to be filled up for 4 years. So, all right. So we've talked about Siakam.
I just have one more. If you're the Warriors, there's a Warriors trade with, like, you can get Siakam and Gary Trent out. You're taking back like Wiggins, Chris Paul, and Kuminga. That money works, and then whatever picks or swaps from the Warriors. So your package is, you know, Chris Paul, who's like obviously an expiring, and you might even be able to like flip him to somewhere. And then, you know, Wiggins, you're taking on Wiggins's money, which is the bad part. Like
And Barrett is just too much.
But here's the thing is, like, what are you going to do? You know what I'm saying? Like, are you really trying to be competitive in the next 2 years? Because that's my thing. Because
it's just too much risk, though. What if both of those guys just suck now? You have $60 million of shitty players on your books. I don't see it.
But they're expirings in 2 years. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's the thing is, it's like, I just don't think that they're going to be. I think the Dallas deal makes way more sense.
Yeah.
But like, I also don't think like Andrew Wiggins is like just fucking bad now. Like, he was good 2 years ago.
Well, why would you have to take back Wiggins is the question. Why wouldn't you just go Chris Paul and then fill up the salary otherwise? And I'll do that instead.
Well, the problem like, is like
Moody,
what else?
Kuminga and Chris Paul could definitely get you to Siakam money.
If you want to do that, I didn't think that they would want to. The Warriors would want to, like,
they probably won't want to trade Siakam. Kuminga.
Well, and you're taking Siakam with Wiggins. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
right. You're sending him with the money. Like, I don't think that's feasible. So,
okay, all I'm saying is the Warriors. I know it's a new front office, but ownership still has a lot of say there, and I think they think they're the smartest people alive. Based on everything that they've done for the last decade, they think they're super brain geniuses.
That's true.
And they put it out there that they would be willing to move Wiggins because they think Kuminga can be the new starter in his spot. And that is a horrible sign if I'm another team. They're willing to trade a player who was a massive success story for them, that won a championship for them. All the reports we've come out of there is he showed up out of shape. He didn't seem that committed. He's been absolutely horrible this year. If I'm taking on that contract, I want multiple first round picks or the prospects to make the deal work. Maybe like if you're that high on Kuminga, like Masai has been reported to be, then maybe sure that's worth it. But I don't think they would give up both Wiggins and Kuminga for Pascal now. Whether that's right or wrong, I'm just saying that's what I think.
Yeah, I guess that's fair. But that's what I was going to say. I don't think it's terrible to take on Wiggins, because I think Wiggins will likely just be like, I know he's only had one good year, but he's also like,
he had
probably not going to be this. He's also probably not going to be this bad. He's probably not going to be this bad. You know what I'm saying? Like, and you get in, you kind of buy low on him, and he'll be like a normal starter probably for you for like 2 years. So,
I think
he can have value to some teams like later on down the line. You know what I'm saying? Like, if somebody's got an expiring, like, you know, if you hold on to him and trade him flip him to another team, like, that needs.
My, my joke, because his deal is only 3 years long, I believe. I don't think it's 4 years. But my joke was that the Sixers should trade Tobias Harris for Wiggins so that when Jason Tatum sees him in the conference finals, he might have
his pants.
War flashbacks.
That's a funny tweet there. They say Shea was coming home, and instead they got RJ Barrett.
Okay, that's really funny.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah, Thunder fans must be loving this after Shea and Dort, the Canadian superheroes in Oklahoma City, who they've been saying are going to play for the Raptors for fucking 5 years. But yeah. No,
Sean Hagen brings a pretty good point. These teams are suing each other, by the way. Yeah, currently.
I know. I did see that. Friend of the podcast, Harrison, Lakers Harrison, said that. What did he say? Oh, he said this is the first trade in NBA history that involves two teams currently suing each other. Is this part of the lawsuit?
I was actually considering the same thing. I'm like, did somebody get a little bit of value in return for dropping the suit? Like, are we going to see a suit dropped in the next week? Yeah. I think you probably can't, because then it looks like you have out of trade collusion stuff going on.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, maybe the case just gets dropped now. Maybe they're like, all right, whatever. Don't worry about it.
Right.
But so
Tupac was seen. So Kev said that Lonzo Ball is targeting a return this month, and Lo-Fi Barkley to Chill and Study said, "I heard Tupac was seen in the Dominican Republic too." Kev,
let's go. It's very unfortunate. I do not think
I love Tupac. Yeah, it's so sad about that.
I love Tupac. I love Lonzo. I don't think that either of them will be returning anytime soon.
I think Tupac has a better chance of returning than Lonzo. Like, if you made me take the odds, I would handicap it such that I would put more odds on Tupac being out there. Like, I don't think Suge Knight was that efficient. Like, it's possibility Jesus he Christ. Missed something.
Yeah,
the Raptors' punishment for the lawsuit was RJ.
Very good. Very, very good. So, So, by the way, Raptors fans, put some respect on my boy Bill Simmons' name, because he was the one who said they're going to target the Canadian wings, Barrett and Wiggins.
Yeah, you're right.
He called it. He knows how it works. He knows the game. Don't doubt my guy.
I actually have a different theory. I think that Bill Simmons knows so little that he sometimes channels into the ether of the psychic universe.
Yeah.
And so by knowing, yeah, right. So he knows the outcomes, but not the rationale. Yes. He's like,
he does the math wrong, but gets the right answer.
Yep. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, it's incredible.
What if IQ doesn't resign? This was not a great trade for the Raptors.
Well, if IQ doesn't resign, they could just match any deal that he gets in restricted. If he takes the qualifying offer, then you're fucked. Sam, you're currently muted if you're trying to talk.
If they don't match the restricted free agency, then Masai is cooked.
Yeah.
Cooked.
Yeah. No, they're gonna. This was obviously all worked out.
I don't know. About
Although IQ,
yeah,
he did seem pretty surprised that he was traded, which is rare nowadays when players get traded. Like, they're informed. So yeah, I think the Knicks might have been doing this behind the scenes.
Yeah. Almost always at this point, with the way that the league works, they're bringing in agents to workshop the deals themselves, because like, they're like, we want to maintain a good relationship with these players. We want to maintain a good relationship with these agents. Like, you're going to get traded, but you're going to like making sure that you know ahead of time. I think IQ found out the quote was, he found out he got deported with the rest of us.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Get him out of here.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Fucking.
Bye-bye. You know, I am actually, you know, once again, I'm very far on the left, but I have thought about building a wall with Canada, and I think we should make the Raptors pay for it.
Part of the thing. This is New York. This is the new New York politics.
Exactly.
Gonna have Eric Adams going on some of this stuff.
I think we could, if you gave me 10 minutes in a room with Eric Adams, I could convince him to build a wall on the New York border with New York, with
100%
with Canada.
He would just, for no reason, Eric Adams would be like, I remember 9/11. The Canadians, I know they were behind it.
Yeah, he's showing that old tweet from the KSA where they threatened to do 9/11 to the and he's like, "This is there's too much risk here. We have to build the wall.
Close all the borders."
Yeah,
we need to return to the Dominion of New York, and by Dominion, I mean walled-in city-state.
So, is Gary Trent going to get traded then too? Right?
Yeah.
Do you think Siakam or Gary Trent is more likely to be traded?
I think both.
Siakam more likely because I think he'll have a bigger market, but Gary Trent probably gets traded now.
Well, no. So I think that if I was handicapping, once again, if I was going to place like odds on it, I actually think Trent might get traded first because I think that he has more fits.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. There are more teams.
More contenders might be interested, but I think more teams would give up value for Siakam. Siakam's harder to fit on some teams because of the shooting issues, but he's just such a better player that it's you make with when players are as good as Siakam, you make the weaknesses work. As opposed to Gary Trent being more plug and play on like the Bucks or the Lakers or whoever. I just don't really see real value being given up there. And also I will say if they value Gary Trent enough to the point where they're like, we'll take it to free agency. It's not like losing Fred Van Fleet or whoever or OG or Siakam for nothing. Like if you lose Gary Trent in free agency, you lose Gary Trent in free agency. Like you can't recover from losing Gary Trent for nothing. So I would not take a deal just to take a deal, but if there's value out there for Gary Trent, I would do it.
I mean, if you think he's leaving, I would take a deal just to take it because that's the thing is it's like, you're not going to, I don't think it's worth being good. You know what I'm saying? It's not like, it's not like a normal team. Like you're rebuilding now, which is fine. You know? So,
I see a comment. Is there really no chance Siakam is a Sixer? Is there no chance? I think there's a chance. Sure. But I also think that, I just don't like the fit. Can't put players that can't shoot around Joel Embiid. It fucks everything up. We've seen this time and time again when you get to the playoffs. Now, Siakam is much better than these players, yes, but it is if you're trying to build a system around Joel Embiid, spacing should be the most important thing. It's the same reason why I think Paul Reed would never be able to play with Embiid despite Sixers fans' craziest dreams.
Statistically, Siakam is one of the most dangerous people to have around Embiid. I wouldn't want it. Yeah. Yes. No more people that broke Joel's face.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, Gary Trent Jr. Would be a perfect guy for the Sixers to steal. But also, again, Masai and Morey negotiating.
Nurse and Gary Trent Jr. hate each other. They don't like each other. So that's kind of out the window.
Do you know Pascal's shooting from three this year?
It's like 27% or something.
24.8.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah. He's and like his shooting outside of he had what two seasons where he was an average or above average shooter. And both of those seasons, the championship year, and I think the year after the championship year. And then ever since it's been like bad, 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 bad. And like, I don't know. The more I like the Sixers already don't get up enough threes. They already have a lot of guys that do similar things.
Don't worry,
Pascal.
They'll get hot against the Celtics.
Yeah,
that's what's going to happen. any team that doesn't shoot enough threes, they're going to suddenly be good against the Celtics in the playoffs.
Well, that's just the Miami Heat. Let's be honest.
Well, what if you are the new Miami Heat since you have NBA Mujahideen?
Yeah, we do have. Okay, so let's see. Let's go through Pascal Siakam shooting seasons. Okay, 2018-2019 win championship 36%. 2019-2020, 35%, 29% the year after that with the no fans year, which is weird. Everyone shot better that season. 2021, he shot 34%. Last year, 32%. This year, 24%. A career 32% three-point shooter.
Yeah, look, I think the teams that can trade for Siakam are teams that either have incredible spacing already, incredible shooting already, or teams where the idea of him as a kind of a run and gun forward is like not that bad of an idea where like he's never going to be behind the arc anyways. So
you want a spacing five with him ideally. Yeah. Like, I mean, whether it's a vertical spacing five, like a Derek Lively or a five that in, and not like a Joel spacing five where Joel's running a ton of shit, like from the top of the key. Like I would want like a five who legitimately is a threat from out there. And like Joel's just so much damage from the mid-range in that, like, putting a guy like Siakam, you can maybe find a dunker roll spot for him, but like we know that that has been fucked up in the past. Like, I would trust a smart coach like Nurse to be able to figure out the pairing, but I also just don't think it's a good idea to give up real value for a guy who's about to turn 30 years old, is heavily reliant on athleticism, and cannot shoot. Those guys age horribly always. Like, there's very few guys that have the archetype of Siakam that are good when they're 34 years old, which you'll be paying him until he's 34 years old. So
yeah, and I want to also say, like, I actually thought the Raptors should keep Siakam, and like, because I thought that Scottie's ceiling was, I think I was saying like 90% of Siakam.
Yeah.
Scottie's already now a better shooter than Siakam has ever been.
Yeah. And Scottie's also projecting, if he continues on this path, to just be better than Siakam.
Yes, just better than Siakam has ever been. Yeah. Yep.
Can I say my last one? I've got one more very rude Pascal Siakam trade.
Sure.
Pascal Siakam for a package of Joe Harris, Isaiah Stewart, and Jaden Ivey.
What was it? Jaden Ivey.
Yeah. Beef Stew, who's poison pilled, but the street works in this trade, and Joe Harris is expired.
So is this the Pistons just desperately trying not to become the worst team ever?
Yeah, I was going to say, you can't risk that if you're the Pistons, because what if Siakam gets there and it's like, this is a nightmare, I'm leaving in free agency.
He's going to. Why would you stay in Detroit?
Yeah.
This is trading Jaden Ivey to get your name out of any other history books.
Yet now that the Sixers if the Sixers move Tobias for Siakam, because those two wouldn't fit together, moving Tobias to the Pistons and then stuff to the Raptors might make more sense, but they're not going to give up Jaden Ivey for Tobias Harris. Maybe they will, because they're incredibly dumb.
Right, they're the last truly dumb front office.
Yeah.
That's the thing. That's why all the Pistons trades are like so fun and make so much sense, because they're like the last true Charlie Day wildcard bitches. Like, anything could happen. I have nothing is beyond them. And I do think that if they wanted to get, you know, Tobias, it's manageable. I mean, fuck, man. I think there's a way to make that work too. Like, if the, you know, Sixers would get Tobias, I don't know how many picks you guys would be giving up in a Siakam Tobias thing,
I've been saying this since last year, since the new CBA came around. Like, obviously Siakam is a more valuable player than Toby, but like, I don't know how many picks I would be willing to do the move from Toby to Siakam if I'm the Sixers, because
I just hate Siakam's fit with the Sixers. There's so many players I would rather have over Siakam if I'm going for best fit.
I think you could just get Gary Trent for the same price.
Yeah, I was just going to say, Gary Trent's a better fit than Siakam.
But
yeah,
this is where Sixers fans always lose the plot, because they have such a deep hatred for Tobias Harris. They only view it as Tobias Harris on another team and another player on our team, instead of Tobias Harris is an expiring contract. There is a large market of players you can acquire with picks and expirings
that could be
a better fit. Yeah,
whoever it is. Right.
Kuzma, Grant, whatever. Like, I'm not saying that those guys are available, but like, there should theoretically be players. I like guys like Bogdan Bogdanovic. Like, there are plenty of guys. What if you trade for Siakam and then this offseason Mikal Bridges is available and you spent your assets on Pascal Siakam, who's not a great fit, and also moving forward, you would rather have Mikal Bridges.
Like, again, there are teams I legitimately think that would even pay a little bit of money if you didn't want to go get a player that was like on a short contract. There are teams that want to get off decent players because they're not a good fit.
Yeah.
But they would trade one for one for Toby potentially.
Yeah, I'm not open to the idea of just making a trade for the sake of making a trade when you have all these things in the offseason. The team is really good right now, and I think if anything, the thing that they could improve on, is a secondary ball handler who can shoot.
Yeah.
Not a secondary ball handler who is going to be, you know, Pascal Siakam. Like, that's just not the kind of guy that I would be targeting.
Atlanta Bogdanovic is a great guy to be targeting. Like,
Bogdan would be incredible. People trolling me in the comments saying Tyus Jones, fuck off. I honestly, if they wanted to make a more median move and try to get like two role players, like a Royce O'Neal from the Nets and a DeLon Wright from the Wizards and take a crack. Like I would be open to all of those moves more so than spending all of your assets trying to acquire players. And just last thing here before we get out of here, on the Knicks, you got to look at their perspective from this and say, we just got OG, who fits great with pretty much any star that we could potentially acquire, like Sam said, and we still have all of those picks. So now the Knicks have tradable salary.
Yep.
They have first round picks, and they have Brunson, who can probably be the second guy on a contender, and OG, who can probably be the third guy on a contender. That's the way, that's the rosy side of this for the Knicks, where they might have sold short on Quickley's upside, but they have guys who fit better around X superstar that they could potentially acquire.
I will say by moving Quickley now, they do have one less asset in the war chest to go get that star. Like, I think when Tyus gets to Philly, let's give Trill a jersey. I could be behind that.
Okay, if it makes you feel better, how about Mitchell Robinson's the third best player on the team, and OG Anunoby's the fourth?
But yeah, the thing for me right now is that, like, with Quickley gone, they have one less asset. But, like, maybe Grimes unsucks all of a sudden now with more playing time.
I think Grimes is going to be good. I know he's struggled this year, but I'm just not. I don't buy the fact that a guy that was a really good shooter for 2 years and is like a good defender just all of a sudden is bad. Like, I think that he's a valuable archetype of player. And wait, what? Oh, Mitchell Robinson out for the season. I thought they meant Donovan Mitchell in the comments.
No, Mitchell
Robinson. I'm talking about the future. I'm not talking about the Knicks right now because the Knicks are not. The Knicks
are not winning the championship this year.
They
signed OG Anunoby as like part of being part of their core going forward. They're preparing for trading for X star that becomes available. That
exactly. Luka and Brunson reunited in the Big Apple.
Let's go.
Devin Booker coming home.
I still think
CAA connection.
I think the most likely one is Donovan Mitchell. Like, I know that the Knicks have been like back out on Donovan Mitchell, but I just think that he is the star that is legitimately going to be available. I don't think Luka's going to be available because I think he's going to sign, or not at least right away, he's going to sign the Supermax and then have a full year where he can't be traded.
Like, I think this buys you time on the star trade, though.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Like, look, we made an impact win now move, and a year from now, maybe we can acquire whatever star becomes available. Like, I don't know. I just, this whole idea that the Knicks are like bound to trade for a star in time, yes, but I don't think that they should be rushing to just trade for the first star becomes available because, like, I still don't love the Mitchell and Brunson fit. And I think that they're similar. I still am holding on to the fact I know Mitchell got outplayed by Brunson in two playoff series. I'm still holding on to the fact that Mitchell has a higher level to go to. And maybe it's just because I've seen him be absolutely insane before. Mm-hmm. But I moving forward, I don't know. It's hard for me to say that I would rather have his tools are just better than Brunson's. And I think I would prefer to have Mitchell over Brunson, but maybe that in time that turns out to be wrong. And Brunson is that dude.
Malachi Flynn. Baldale, stop celebrating Malachi Flynn.
Let's go. Oh, Malachi Flynn was included in the trade?
Yeah, they sent Malachi.
Yeah. And Precious Achiuwa.
Yeah, wow. two of Masai's like favorite little projects.
I was going to say, Malachi Flynn, who's better than Tyrese Maxey, I was told. And then Precious Achiuwa is also better than Tyrese Maxey. So they got the real story here is that
two Tyrese Maxeys. Yeah,
and OG Anunoby. They got the three best players in the trade.
That's pretty cool.
No. Ball Don't Stops thinks RJ's the best player in the trade.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Fair. Yes. Fair. He's Canadian, so I did not. Yeah. Okay. So, thank you for joining us, guys. This was a lot of fun. We'll be back next week with a new episode in the new year. If you missed the beginning of the stream, I'm going to be posting this on Patreon, and then I'll post it on everything else tomorrow. So. Enjoy. Thanks for joining us, Dred.
I could not miss this for the world. Masai finally, he has the league on tilt, man.
Raptor slop is back, baby. It's untainted.
Let's go.
Happy New Year, everybody. Peace.
I will be back for Raptors Pistons if the we're having family over tonight now. So sorry, I can't. Apologies. We had to move it back from yesterday, so I won't be able to stream during that. But hopefully the Pistons lose, and then next week I can stream when they break the streak. So peace.